Talk here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 on the campus of Morgan State University. I am Carol Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And we are going to be talking to Coach Love, Nicholas.
Nicholas
Coach
Garrett.
Nicholas Garrett. How are you today, sir?
But known professionally as Coach Love.
The relationship expert. Welcome back.
Coach. I'm great. How are you guys doing? It's great to be back with you guys.
Doing good.
Now, one of the exciting things for us was that there were so many calls during your last visit that we couldn't handle them all. So we've asked you to come on for a whole hour to be with us, to give us advice on dating, on relationships, on everything related to love and relationships. So we're hoping that if you're in a relationship or you want advice on your relationship or you want to jump into a relationship, you will call Coach Love right now at 410-319-8888. That's the number to join our conversation. Welcome back, Coach Love.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Yes, like last time I was on, you know, I talked about the mistakes that people make when it comes to dating. And today, for the first segment, I want to talk about the red flags that people need to look out for, like when they're dating.
Ooh, I like red flags are very, very important.
Can't ignore them.
Absolutely. And what I love to tell my clients is that people don't betray us. We betray ourselves when we ignore the red flags in the beginning.
So what are some of those red flags? Ladies, gentlemen, listen out. What are some of the red flags, Coach Love, that people need to be paying attention to?
Yeah, so when you get to know someone and you ask them, hey, what are your intentions when it comes to dating? And if they say, let's just go with the flow, that's a red flag. That's letting you know, like, hey, maybe this person don't really know what they want. And if you know what you want, like all my clients, they know what they want and they are intentional when they're dating. So if someone is not intentional and you guys do not have the same intention, you're wasting your time.
Wow. Now, but why is going with the flow a bad thing?
Because you want someone to be on the same page as you. You want this person to be like, hey, I'm dating with a purpose of entering into a long-term relationship, possibly marriage. But you want to make sure that your goals are aligned. If your goals are not aligned, then that's an issue.
I agree. I agree with that. Me and Anthony talk about a lot of stuff in the car, and I was saying I do not ignore red flags at all. And my daughter would say that I kick people to the curb too fast. But I don't really think that I do, because like you said, I am intentional about what I want. At my age, I know what I want, and I'm just not, you know, going to put up with the red flags. I'm not going to see if they correct themselves.
Yeah, and I do tell my clients that a red flag is not always
a deal ender. Hey, that's right.
Yeah, it's a reason. It's something to become curious about. So, hey, what do you mean when you say let's just go with the flow? Like, are you dating because you do really want to get in a relationship? And sometimes you have to have certain conversations with people to help them get to what they're really trying to say.
So, folks, I want to encourage you, even if you have some of the hard questions, because I'm going to ask him about our social media question and cheating, and is that considered cheating on social media? And I know a lot of people have very different opinions about that. But if you have a hard relationship question, give us a call at 410-319-8888. Coach Love, tell us some other red flags that people need to be aware of.
Yes, so inconsistency, if you guys are familiar with the term ghosting, that's a very popular term now when it comes to dating. When you're dating someone and they just
disappear.
They just disappear, stop all communication with you, and then they pop back up like a couple weeks later. That's a red flag. And I always tell my clients, if someone ghosts you, let them stay dead.
Ooh. I know that's right.
So not dating zombies.
Harsh.
So that's another thing that me and Anthony had a conversation about, because I met somebody on a dating site and they were talking to me fine for like 3 days straight. We were talking on the phone, and then all of a
sudden,
very
engaged,
they disappeared. They just disappeared. And I, being the stubborn person that I am, did not reach out until the final hour. And I said, well, I really don't know how to interpret your silence. Now, they could see my profile. So they mm-hmm. knew where I lived. And their response was, well, I think that my job hours and our distance is a barrier. And, you know, I'm like, well, you saw where I lived on my, you know.
Why
I didn't
did
go,
you come why after me?
You,
if,
why
yeah.
did you even come talk to me, mm-hmm. you know? Not to mention we only live an hour away.
Yeah.
Hello. So that was just, I did not even, I just can't put up with that mm-hmm. foolishness.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a red flag.
Red flag.
Yeah, and I always like to tell my clients, like, if you are going to be on a dating website, make sure it's a site with a paid membership, because that's letting you know that someone is more serious about it than investing
when
their money.
When they're willing to invest their money. Yeah. Yeah. And I told a friend of mine what you said in our last visit about the no shirt. And she said, those are my favorite profiles. And I said, that's why you're in the position you're in now. Pay that's attention.
So, yes, that's so funny that you brought up social media, because that's my next red flag. If someone is a chronic poster
uh-oh.
On social media,
uh-huh.
that's letting you know that this person is probably seeking out external validation.
Uh-huh.
So that's something to be very aware of, you know, become curious. Like, hey, you post so often. I know now we got a lot of social media models and stuff like that on Instagram, but if that's not their job to be posting and selling products, then it's an issue if they constantly posting online, you know,
uh-huh.
posting their meals while you're having dinner and things like that.
Right.
Yes.
That's something and to become
I was
worried
out
about.
To dinner with some people recently, and everyone around the table took pictures of their meal. And we're posting them. And they're like, aren't you going to post your meal? I said, no.
Right.
no. All right. Well, we have a bunch of callers on the line already. I'm very excited. Sue, welcome to our two-way talk, our conversation with Coach Love.
Well, hello, two-way talk. Hello, everyone.
Hey there.
Hi. Hello. My issue is I don't have a problem really meeting gentlemen, but I meet them when I'm out and about, okay? They fall in love the first time they Ooh. See me. They call me. The last instance, I met a gentleman at where I work. All right, I said, okay, we can go out. He sings, and he sung me a lullaby the first night. I thought it was so cute. The second night, we went out to eat. I'm not going to say where. We went out to eat. He actually was singing to me over my pasta. I was so upset. But that is my thing. They fall in love right away, ready to move in, ready to marry everything. Who wants that?
You must Hell. Be absolutely charming, right. Sue.
I am. No, I can't stand it. So I need some help with this if you can help me.
So, yeah, Coach Love, what do you think?
I think if someone is trying to move too fast, that's also a red flag. You need to take your time to get to know someone. I think slow love is the best love. So what I will say is that if you go out with someone on Monday, you probably shouldn't go with them on Tuesday. Take time to see how you feel about them. Give it a couple of days, then go out again with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes we just need to process, how was Monday's night date? Like, you know, how do I feel about this person? You know, mm-hmm. so take a couple of days and then go out, like, maybe like 2 or 3 days later. But uh-huh. also, it's all about communicating what you expect and how you feel, and you can let someone know, hey, you singing to me over dinner while we're out in public on a second date, I do not feel comfortable with that. You know, I feel like right. that's inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Very okay. interesting.
Thank you.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Bye-bye.
So, folks, give us a call. Join the conversation. Coach Love is here for you. 410-319-8888. Linnea, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hello there, Dr. Love.
Hey, Linnea.
Is it Dr. or Coach Love?
Coach Love.
It's Coach Love.
Coach Love. Okay, so I'm going to ask this question. You may or may not have an answer for me. So I listened to you, and I feel like most of your questions are geared toward monogamous couples. Do you have any advice for people or any thoughts about how to navigate polyamorous relationships? Or is this advice pretty much general and can work either way, or is this out of your wheelhouse?
I think
my advice is pretty general. I think it can work either way. When most of my advice is all about communicating your feelings and your expectations. So when you're communicating your expectations, even if you're in a polyamorous relationship, you're saying, hey, we might have an open relationship. However, these are still my expectations, and you still need to have some type of agreement, because polyamorous relationships is so much like your traditional relationship, or what we call your traditional relationship, is still about what are your expectations and do we have agreements?
Now, when you say they're so much like traditional relationships, explain to our listening audience what a polyamorous relationship is. I think I know, but I don't want to define it in case I don't know.
Yes, yeah, so some people have poly relationships where they date multiple people, mm-hmm. and some people date multiple people, but they might can't enter into a relationship with them. But some uh-huh. people have relationships where they, some people call it a community, where they can have multiple relationships with people.
Mm.
But some people say I can have like 5 girlfriends or 5 boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have their rules where it's like you just can have sex with other people, but you can't bring them home and you can't go out on dates with them.
That's too complicated for me. That's just too complicated for me.
It's just too dangerous out here for that foolishness.
I mean, too much. Linnea, are you in a polyamorous relationship?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so explain not how it works, but has it worked successfully for you?
I actually took a year just by myself, just kind of deciding how I wanted it to look.
Uh-huh.
And then I pursued my person based on that. And it wasn't so much of it having to be more than one person at one, you know, at one
at
time.
At any time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was about building a relationship with the person that I meet. And it has been going well.
Wonderful.
It is about communication, so.
That's important.
Yeah, it is. And it's important. I mean, if she said she took a year off to figure out what she wanted it to look like, I think that was probably the greatest step she could
take.
That
was very mature.
Because mm-hmm. like me, if I just said, okay, you know what, forget it. I'm not finding a man. I'm going to get a poly. It's not going to work for me because mm-hmm. I know deep down inside I only want to be with one person. So that's good that she took the time to figure that out.
I am telling you all, Kara and I talk about relationships all the time. She is so much fun. I don't know what these guys don't see. She makes me giggle constantly. Linnea, thanks for joining us today on Two-Way Talk.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Folks, join us. If you have questions about relationships, Coach Love is here to answer your calls. Now, that was a great question,
mm-hmm.
And she was very honest. And if you have a question that you don't you don't have to give your name if you don't want to, but put it right on the table, 410-319-8888. Relationships are very important.
So Coach Love, you said that moving too fast is definitely a red flag. And I would have to say that moving too slow is actually a red flag, too, wouldn't you?
So I think that everyone should have their own time frame. I usually offer my clients, I think 3 months is enough time if you're dating someone and getting to know them. That's enough time where you both should come to the conclusion, like, hey, I see myself moving forward with this person or not. So some people be like, I need 6 months. Some people might be like a year, and I definitely think a year too long to be mm-hmm. dating someone and not know how you feel about this person. So I think it's up to the individual, but I definitely think that taking your time is better than moving in with someone in 2 weeks. And like I've had clients where they jump into a relationship and moved in with someone within 2 weeks. So that's too fast, too soon for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah. By the same token, I think that what Kara was saying was you have to be very cautious. If somebody wants you to be engaged for 6 to 12 years, that's too slow.
Yeah. It's too slow for me that if I've been talking to you for 2 weeks on the phone, say, mm-hmm. and you don't once say,
let's
meet for coffee mm-hmm. or let's meet for, that's too slow for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want nobody to move in with me, but at what point are we going to see each other face to face?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I say if you're talking to someone online, if you guys don't meet within 2 weeks, then on to the next person.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, with me, it's a little less than that, but I just made the 2 weeks
my
as an
example. I would say less than max. I think you should meet someone within a week. I think that if someone is putting themselves out there to date, that's saying, hey, I have time.
I'm ready to date. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if they don't have the time, that's a red flag letting you know, hey, well, if you don't have the time to meet me within 2 weeks, then you must not have the time to really get to know someone
that's
and date
oof.
Them.
So the next caller is going to be very interesting,
I guarantee.
Well,
I have a text question for Coach Love. So is it a red flag for people to go through each other's phones?
Oh, yes. Oh, without question.
Yeah,
I think a relationships boil down to expectations and agreement. If I agree to give you my passcode and I say you can check my phone anytime you would like, then that's okay. But if that's, if you don't have the permission to do that, then that's a betrayal of my trust. So that mm-hmm. is an issue.
It's a trust issue.
It's definitely a trust issue, regardless. Whether you're saying, oh, here, do it if you want.
Right.
It's still a trust issue.
It's a trust issue. Why do I need to go through your phone if I trust you? Mm-hmm. Right. I agree.
Sometimes people put that rule in place when there has been infidelity in a relationship. So just to make people feel safe and comfortable, they want to say, hey, I'm not going to mess up again. I'm going to give you my passcode, and you can check my phone anytime you would like.
I am telling you, if you've got to go through my phone or if I've got to go through your phone,
right.
I don't want that relationship.
That's right. That's right.
And honestly, if you're arguing with somebody every day about they're cheating on you or you're talking to somebody mm-hmm. too long or you got email accounts that they don't know about,
right.
or get this, if they come into the house and you tell them you've got to sniff them,
right.
then something's
right.
wrong with
that's
that relationship.
Right.
Get out of, red flag, get out of that
right.
relationship.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you think it's normal for someone to sniff you
yeah.
to see if you've
right. I think
if you've been sexually active with someone else, that's a relationship I don't want any part of.
They need to be right at the SPCA.
Miss Linda is on the phone. Miss Linda, I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Hi. Good evening, and I'm so proud to be back on our regular line.
Yes.
I thought I was listening to a rebroadcast.
Uh-oh.
Hey, but look, I just want to say to that charming lady, that, you know, sound like she got it going on.
Uh-huh.
And to everybody out there, you want to know what love got to do with it? Everything.
Everything to do with
and
it.
And I just want to tell you, you know, beware, because the devil is the master of deception.
Wow.
And you have to really, really put your trust in God, seek God,
mm-hmm.
baby, with your whole heart. Not only does God anoint your eyes to see, your ears to hear, your heart to perceive, and your spirit to discern.
Mm-hmm.
And I call it Holy Ghost radar.
All right.
When look, honey, when somebody is not right and not, you know, who they claim to be, baby, there's an alarm that go off in your spirit mm-hmm. to let you know that this person is not for real.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I just want to mm-hmm. tell you that everybody needs somebody. But, honey, God bless our love, and God will bless it when
thank
it's
you.
Right, okay?
Thank you, Miss Linda. Appreciate
love
you.
Love you, and have a very blessed weekend, okay?
You too.
All right.
So, Coach Love, we have a bunch of callers on the line. I'm going to turn to them, I promise, and let them ask you the question. But, now, a lot of people believe that if they're in a relationship with someone, the conversations they have on social media are not cheating. They can have relationships with women online, men online, and just flirt, but there's no sexual contact, there's no meeting, and they don't believe that that is, in fact, cheating. A lot of people believe that their partner is, in fact, cheating on them if they are flirting with or having relationships online with other people.
Yeah, so I think that comes down to an agreement as well. Some people, like you say, some people feel like, hey, it's cheating if you're talking to someone online. Some mm-hmm. people feel like, hey, it's only cheating if I actually have sex with someone else.
Yes.
So it's about having a conversation with the person that you're in a relationship with and you guys come into an agreement. Some, you know, so whatever that couple agree on that's mm-hmm. cheating, then that's what it is, you know.
Mm.
It really just depends on that couple, I think. You know,
suppose they agree on not talking to people on line, and then one of them gets caught talking to somebody online and flirting.
They broke the rules.
That's cheating. Yeah, they broke the rule.
Yeah,
that's right.
They didn't honor their agreement.
So, folks, what do you think of that? Do you think it's cheating if someone is talking to someone online? They're not meeting them. They're not having sex. But they're in deep, intimate relationships mm-hmm. on social media with someone other than their partner. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Dell. Dell, welcome to Two-Way Talk. I'm well.
Hey.
Good, good, good. I just wanted to thank you all for having this conversation. And in answer to your last question, I think it's a matter of expectations. If you tell people what you expect of them,
mm-hmm.
then you should not have any confusion as to what will happen next.
That's
and
right.
One of my philosophical statements is, the way you present is the way you receive.
Mm.
So if you are coming forth in a manner that is very chaotic,
mm-hmm.
you are not going to have nothing but chaos in your life. if you are looking for a relationship, whatever that relationship may be,
mm-hmm.
and you're very understanding and forthcoming with the other person, but more importantly, what you need and what you're looking for, it should move forward, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to call it and to share that with you all.
Oh, I think you're on point. I really do. I think that oftentimes people need to stop and assess the chaos in their life, and then they don't have to try to figure out why their relationships mm-hmm. are in such chaos. Their families exactly. are in such chaos. Their job exactly. is in such mm-hmm. chaos.
Exactly. And they shouldn't even be entering into anything until they get all that together anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I did want to add something to
uh-huh,
what
go, Coach.
Del said. So I agree with that. I think dating is about clarity. So when you're dating someone, you should definitely communicate exactly what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm a firm believer that likes attracts likes. So if you're a drama-filled person, you're going to attract drama-filled Ooh. People.
Yes. Very, very true. Before we go to the break in just a few minutes, I do want you to give your contact information, Coach Love, because I know people need professional help, and people need some professional help dating. We, of course, recommend Coach Love to all of our listeners. Find out what you're doing wrong and what you're doing right. Build on it and get these relationship things correct. Z, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Today and oh. Coach Love, I'm so glad we had this show again because I'm free now. I don't have anybody else. I've been a care provider for a long time. I'm ready for a mate, and I want someone that likes to dance and
mm-hmm.
energetic, you know, do what I like to do. I'm a silver single, I, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to get back out there and see if I still got it.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you suggest?
That's a very good question.
I would suggest if you are a Facebook user, they have many groups for many different activities. You can find what you're passionate about. If it's dancing, salsa dancing, join mm-hmm. a group that's all about salsa dancing. Go out there, meet people, and network.
Mm.
Okay. I love social dancing.
Yes.
And social I love the dancing. Waltz and all of that. I took it at Morgan.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Social yes. dancing is a great way mm-hmm. to get to know people.
Well, because of COVID, are they offering it at Morgan now?
I'm not sure. That's a good yeah. question.
I don't know.
Well, if that's what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, if you join different groups on Facebook and they all have certain restrictions, like they might ask for your vaccination card if you join like one of their meetups. Just join a group that's something that you're passionate about. If you like singing or the arts or something.
Or books.
Or everything.
Or
yeah,
anything.
If you're an avid reader, they have so many groups on Facebook for everything.
Now, see, you've got to call us back and let us know how successful you've been.
Okay, now.
All right.
I will. I can't wait. I'm excited.
All right. I'm excited. All right. Thank you.
So, we're going to go to the break?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go to a break, and we'll be back with our callers and Coach Love.
Welcome back to Two Way Talk here on Public Radio. WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Carol Williams.
One of the important voices in our community is Coach Love. He offers love and relationship advice. He's with us now. And if you're calling 410-319-8888 to join the conversation, it is likely you're getting a busy signal. So call back. Our phone lines are full of people seeking advice from Coach Love. Let's go to Lona. Lona, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Yes, this is how you are doing today.
Doing wonderful. Great to hear you.
Yeah, I have an interesting situation. I've been involved with someone who lives in another country. We have met twice. We are very serious about each other.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have different styles of communication. Or maybe it's just a cultural difference. Because, you know, when I say something about how I feel about a certain
mm-hmm.
subject or a certain thing that happens between us and he doesn't agree with that, he tends to say, take it like I'm attacking him and being, he becomes very defensive when I'm just making a statement about how I feel. And it's not necessarily directed at, you know, you did this or you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I find that to be a little problematic because of the duration of the relationship. We've been in this relationship for a while, and I still feel that he has not really grown past that point in some way.
So,
I mean, it's better than it used to be,
uh-huh.
but I get accused of some type of attack by the words that he chooses to use.
Interesting. So, Coach Love, what do you think?
So with that, if someone is always feeling like you're attacking them, then I would first say, how's their relationship with their parents? Do they have a healthy relationship with their parents? Because a lot of times, of course, our attachment style comes from our childhood. Like, how were we raised? So that might be something to look into. And also, you can have a sit down with him and ask him, hey, when I'm saying something, I notice that you're always feeling attacked. So help me with some words that I can come to you, or can we schedule a weekly check-in and talk about some things that need to be discussed, like what got on my nerves this week, or what can we plan for a good time? But, like, you know, he just needs to sit down and tell you, like, hey, I need you to talk to me like this to feel safe. So it's really about having a conversation and figuring out where is that coming from for him. It might just be something that he needs to work through on his own in therapy.
So, Lana, let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been with him for a long time?
Well, yeah, we have. But as I said, we live in two different countries.
Yeah.
So that could be part of the communication. He speaks another language.
Oh,
I
wow.
learn. I know his language.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know my language as well as I know his.
Oh.
So that could also be a barrier.
That
and then there's the cultural difference.
Yeah, it could definitely be a cultural difference because I know, now this is not, I'm making a blanket statement, and I hope no one takes offense to this. A lot of my friends date Africans. A lot of my female friends date African males. They have a very distinct cultural difference about the roles of men and women in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very clear. They articulate it extraordinarily well. So it's a very distinct cultural difference.
Right. And
that could be the barrier, the cultural barrier.
This gentleman is Hispanic. I am what I like to call an indigenous American.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, in our country we call it black, but I don't choose to use that classification. But anyway...
Uh-huh.
So we come from different ways, and I know he's very quiet, and I'm very verbose.
Uh-huh.
So that's another difference between,
wow.
you know.
Oh, cool. Do either you plan to move or relocate soon?
Yeah, we're about to embark on that journey to have him to come here.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope that you get to the bottom of the problem when it comes to what you mentioned, as Coach Love said. Get to the bottom of that. Overcome that barrier. That will probably free you of a lot of problems in the future.
And yeah, I think sometimes, Anthony, that he has had relationships that he just hasn't healed from.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's coming from somewhere.
That,
he's bringing baggage into that relationship if he always feels like you're attacking him.
Right, and I think it's that bravado, that pride, that machismo, that let him, you know, recognize or let him touch within himself that, you know, there was no healing in some of those relationships.
That's so very true. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I don't know the particulars of her relationship, but I do know that we have been accused of being too strong, too controlling.
We who?
Black women.
Oh, black women. Uh-huh.
And I think sometimes we might take that inadvertently into a relationship. Even with a black man, we take it into a relationship. Now, look at yourself or look at myself with a person that is not from here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if I was going to be in a relationship with somebody that was in another country, my mindset as an American would automatically think that I should be above this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I might be saying that wrong, if you know what I mean. If, you know, so he might be taking what she is saying as insulting or like she's bossing him around, because she could very well inadvertently be doing that. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know her situation, but
a lot of times when people, like, if you're in a relationship with someone and they always feel an attack, they might be emotionally immature. So it's just really something to look into.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. Let's go back to the phones.
We have Ashley. Ashley, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Hi, Ashley.
Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
Hi, hey. You're there.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your question, Ashley, for a coach? Oh, no.
Now, is this a question that I could ask off the line?
I guess.
You can always contact me on Instagram, Facebook, or my website, Coach Nick Love. I'm Coach Nick Love on all social media.
Coach Nick Love.
Well, it's okay. I can ask this.
Okay, go ahead.
So, my sister has it's a problem with her marriage. She had an injury a couple of years ago. Well, it caused her to be somewhat disabled. But she's much better now through surgeries and stuff like that. But her husband has since told her that he no longer is in love with her because of the injury. And he's mourning his wife that he had, not... So she's been trying to deal with it, but, you know, he's angry and, you know, just whatever she does to try to do things, you know, to make it better, he just doesn't seem to be pleased with anything. So that's my question.
So what do you think, Coach?
So you said that he felt like he lost his wife, right? So he might be going through the stages of grief, which is anger is one of them, denial, depression, bargaining, and acceptance. So it could be he's in the stages of grief. So I would recommend them to actually go through couples counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they tried that. Then he wasn't happy with that.
Okay, so he if they try couples counseling and he's still unhappy and he told her that he's not in love with her anymore, he made his decision. She needs to make one.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
I
exactly.
Agree.
Don't put yourself through that stress.
Mm. So, okay. Coach Love, what would you suggest, just so we give her something, what would you suggest as the next steps for her sister and her sister's husband?
The next step I would recommend is couple counseling. She said they've already done that, so... I'm guessing before people used to go to counseling, they've tried everything else. They feel like, hey, I've exhausted everything that I could do on my own. Let me seek professional help. So it seems like they probably exhausted everything else. So it might be nothing left for her to do but make an exit plan.
Make an exit plan. Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you for sharing that information.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so the problem is going to be she might not want to make an exit plan. That's going to be the issue.
But he no longer loves her.
Right.
He no longer finds her sexually attractive.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's she might not want to make the exit plan, but it sounds like he does. He's letting you know, hey, I'm not interested anymore.
He may have already come up with an exit plan.
Yeah, he's already checked out, it sounds like.
410-319-8888 is the number. If you have a question about relationships or if you have a question about love, give us a call. We have Coach Love on today. Coach Nick Love is a relationship expert, and he's here for you. 410-319-8888. That's the number. Let's go to D. D, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Thank you so much. I have a good question.
Which
you almost talked about it just now. If someone's spouse dies and the survivor seems to be getting emails and phone calls from friends of the spouse, can you give some more ideas? Like, they just might not want to go to the next level because you're still trying to deal with grief and closing out business transactions. You know.
Coach?
And you say, when you say go to the next level, you mean
like a dating or just to even see each other, maybe over coffee.
Over coffee or dinner.
Okay. Yeah, some people might not be ready. They might need more time. So there's no need to pressure someone and try to make them ready to put themselves out there to start dating again. Some people need time. So give them time.
Okay.
But did I understand her say that the spouse died and then friends of the spouse are calling?
Yeah, you never would have thought.
You're right.
So the friends of the spouse, the deceased spouse, are calling saying, hey, let's go to dinner. Hey,
how's it going?
How's it going?
Up that they're so concerned.
You look awful cute in that dress.
If they're hitting on her, she can be upfront if she feel like that's inappropriate. She can let them know, hey, this is inappropriate. I don't think this is acceptable, so I'm not interested.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, but do you think that's inappropriate?
I think that. Don't ask me that question. Moving on.
Moving on. Coach Love, do you
think? I think it is inappropriate.
Okay, she's going to tell us
now. No, I think it is inappropriate, but what gave them the inclination that they could hit on her?
Truly.
Makes you wonder.
Makes you want to say,
But they may have wanted to hit on her
while he was alive. That's right.
And now that he's gone,
and nobody
they see
checked
a clear
it.
Path
yep.
To get to her. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Thank you, Dee. Thank you so much.
So if you're on a date, Coach Nick Love, and somebody is constantly on their phone, would you consider that a red flag?
Absolutely. So I, you can't see me now. I like to usually show people an example of what you can do when you actually get to the table when you're on the phone. I mean, before you start a date. Mm-hmm. But you have your phone in your hand, and when you before you sit down, you say, oops, let me turn my phone on silent because I want to make sure I give you my undivided attention. That's setting the stage, and usually the person across from you will do the same.
Oh, nice.
That is great.
That does. That kind of sets the expectations.
Yeah.
Mm. So let me ask you a question. Do you think... I mean, Anthony talked about a plethora of things, and I was telling him that I think just black women seem to get a hard way to go as far as dating. It feels like we got to jump through different hoops. We got to do all these things to get a quality man. Do you find that in your coaching?
So I like to tell people, separate yourself from everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. So don't say it's black women or black men. Put yourself out there, go out there, create a fulfilling life for yourself and enjoy life. And then when you're fulfilling good, like we were saying earlier, if you're drama, you're going to attract drama. Mm-hmm. When you're feeling good and everything like that, that's when you'll attract the man that you need in your life.
Okay.
The better you feel,
right.
the more likely you're going to find something, what you're looking for.
Yes. Universal law says like attracts like.
Like attracts like. That's very true. Universal attraction. If you're down in the dumps, and you're always negative, or you see always the dark side of everything, that is what you're going to bring to relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what you're going to attract. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't seem very fun to me. Someone just texted me, and they said, well, the real question is, how long has he been dead?
Now, that's a good question.
And it's such a good question, because if he's been dead a couple of days, maybe. I'm sorry, that's so tacky of me. But and that's different than several months or several years.
Right.
But if he's been dead for just a couple of days and they're hitting on you, something's wrong.
They was hitting on her at the funeral.
Let's go back to the phones. Ruth, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thank you. Hi, Coach Love. I am a retired pastor. I pastored for 31 years. I meet men. They seem interested. But as soon as they know I'm a preacher, they're gone. They're scared. What do I do?
That is such a good question, Ruth.
Oh, that's such a big part of you. So it's like you should be who you are and let them know what you do. So, I mean, if they're intimidated by you, that's not the right man for you.
Okay.
But, Ruth, what do they say? Do they say they're intimidated by the fact that you are a woman of faith, that you're a pastor?
No, they don't say that, but they act like it.
Okay, they act like it, yeah.
You know, they won't call anymore, or they'll say, oh, okay, you're a pastor, or you're a preacher. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I'm also a woman.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
And I'm like, maybe wait to tell them. Maybe say that I'm a servant of, like, people. I'm in human services or something like that. And maybe wait to tell them until the fifth date what you actually do or something.
Now, you know, I did that. I tried the online online dating.
Uh-huh.
And in my profile, I did not put that I was a preacher on there.
Okay.
And then when I went out on the date and they found out, then they were gone.
Now, can I ask a question? Not of you, Ruth. I don't want you to answer this question. But, Coach Love, do they believe that her being a pastor or a woman of faith, we're all people of faith, but if her being a pastor limits their opportunities sexually?
I do feel like that.
I think that automatically they make assumptions about sex based on your faith.
Mm-hmm. But I would say it's a good thing if they go running, because that's like, you know, that's not the man for you.
That person isn't for you.
If they're just looking for sex, then great. Okay. Keep it moving.
So if I do the online dating again, put it on the profile so they already know?
I would say you can leave that off your profile. Yeah. I don't leave see. It, I don't recommend putting profile, with your don't
take it
with your
profile.
Take it off.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Take it off.
Yeah.
Okay. I never did. I never put it on. Okay.
And you know what? It's not just her being a pastor, but I get what you're saying about the sexual thing. But it's about an intimidation thing because I used to always put retired police officer on my profile. And, honey, they was running for the hills. I said, okay. My brother was like, take that off of your profile. So I don't put it on my profile anymore.
That retired police officer would scare men to death.
They was running for the hills.
And they probably would scared you were going to pull out those handcuffs around any corner. Thank you, Ruth.
And I guess they think I'm going to do a sermon. I guess.
That's right. You're going to lay hands on them.
Right.
Thank you, Ruth.
Well, I can't say this on this radio, but okay. But look, you got the message, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Coach Love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Coach Love, how much should you include about your profession in your dating profile? Should I say I'm a talk show host? Should I say I'm a well-educated, that I got several degrees? I mean, how much should you share in those dating profiles?
So most dating profiles, they'll ask you, like,
specific
what your profession is,
right?
And you can select it, but don't talk about it when you go to the section about me. Don't say, hey, I'm a talk show host and things like that. Just, you know, put I'm in, like, public communications or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Select that as an option for your career, but don't talk about your profession in detail.
Oh, I don't have any problems dating Coach Love. I was just asking for someone else.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
410-319-8888. This is a great show.
It is.
Coach Love, I'm telling you, people care and people want advice on relationships. People care and want relationship advice. So CJ's on the line. CJ, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well, brother. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, thank you. I'm calling because the gay scene in Baltimore is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to date a little bit, and it's just not working for me.
Oh, really? Now, I don't see the gay scene as terrible. I think it's wonderful
think
in the city of Baltimore. It's where you go, the people you surround yourself with, and what your expectations are.
It really absolutely, is. Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And I believe that I'm a transplant from Philadelphia. And, you know, I don't know a lot of people, but, you know, when I go out on dates, people want to know, you're like, where you're working at. I don't mind telling them that. Then, you know, we may go out on a few dates. Then after that, I don't hear from them anymore.
Really?
Hmm.
I'm going to ask that you leave your number with my engineer. No, I'm joking. That was a joke. So what do you think, Coach Love? How can he improve his prospects for dating in Baltimore?
So sometimes people need help when it comes to dating. And I would love to come back and give do a segment on dating do's and dating don'ts. Sometimes people just need to learn how to date.
Yeah.
And they don't know exactly what to talk about, what questions to ask, or how to answer questions.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that can scare someone off. You might come across, you know, like, oh, this person is not that interesting. I'm not saying that about you, CJ, but I'm just saying sometimes people just need help when it comes to dating and how to perform on dates.
Absolutely. Like, for instance, if I go out, you know, on a date, you know, I'll pay. I don't mind that, but then the second date, I'll pay. The third date, I'll pay.
Mm.
And it's like,
so you said that. So so if it comes to same sex couples, I recommend going Dutch on the first couple of dates.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, CJ, do you notice, is it a certain number of dates when they seem to lose interest? Is it the third date or if it's the second date? Are you doing something different each time, or is it one thing, or something happens in every dating cycle where you see that the relationship falls apart?
Like, I pretty much do the same thing. I mean, you know, if we're going out for dinner, we're just going out for dinner.
Uh-huh.
Then, you know, I'm a working person, and some of them aren't working.
Red flag.
There you go.
Some aren't working, and, you know, and it's okay. It's okay.
I see what you're saying.
But at some point, you know,
Well,
I think that it's just like a heterosexual relationship or dating. It's the quality of people you pick. Mm-hmm. If you choose to go out and buy somebody, if I choose to go out and buy a man dinner for 4 days in a row, I'm asking for trouble.
And I'm not going to do that.
You know, a lot of people think that I'm strange because when I go out on a first date, I say, well, let's go Dutch or let's, you know, pay half or something. I don't expect the man to always buy my dinner.
That's
so
good.
I just don't.
And one other thing. Now, I'm not saying this is the case for you, CJ, but I think, and Coach Love has said this before, I think you have to be very strategic about when the relationship becomes sexual. Mm. If you are jumping in bed with someone the first date, and they get
y'all go much further than I'm going.
He said, "Hold up,
for a date. That's it.
That's it. Because once they have sex with you,
they think they've already got their determination whether or not they're going to continue. Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. I'm too much of a lion to be, you know, tricked by a kitten. Now, I don't know that. I'm too much of a lion to be tricked by a kitten. But
I love that, CJ.
Okay.
But it's just that, you know, it seems like, I don't know how to get my.
I've been
here 3 years, and the dating has been really, really not that good.
Well, CJ, stay tuned and keep taking the advice of Coach Love.
Most definitely, and
let's try to get you in a relationship. Let's try.
Okay.
All right, Coach Love, now talk to us about sex.
You're welcome.
Do you have a rule about sex?
Yes, I encourage all of my clients to not have sex until you're in an exclusive relationship with your partner. So, and again, like, after, especially when it comes to sex, like with women, if they have sex too soon, they can fall in love with Boo Boo the Fool, and then they feel attached.
Woo!
Because when women have sex, they
fall
high
in
levels
love.
Of oxytocin,
right.
which
yes.
will make them attracted and attached to the wrong person, maybe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful about that.
And I agree with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned from my mistakes, but I agree with him. Because women are very feely-feely, naturally, and men are physical.
Men are physical. And there's something wrong. I'm not wrong. There's something about the chemicals and hormones of women. When they submit themselves to someone sexually, they become attached to that person.
Yep.
Now, we know there are women who do have sex and are unattached.
Yes.
They don't care.
Right.
But women tend to be much
more. Especially if they already looking at this person like, well, I really like him, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easier for them to get attached when you mix and mingle.
Like, And if you guys end up together, then what's the rush? You can
take your time. You'll have sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have another caller. This caller is, of course, familiar. Jeff's calling from Pasadena. Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon again, everyone. Hey, look, real quick, I got to disagree with the three of you, what you just told somebody a couple callers ago. The woman who's a preacher, you all three of you told her, don't put it on her profile. She's a preacher. I think she should go ahead and put that out there, because if she doesn't, it's almost like she's hiding it. And then if somebody sees her profile and goes out on a date with her, and then they find out she's a preacher, they just wasted an evening of a date. She should just go ahead and put it out there, yeah, I'm a preacher. And then if somebody reads her profile and that doesn't bother them that she's a preacher, that's probably the kind of guy that she should get, you know, the right guy for her. So if I, now, you know, I'm not an expert on this subject, but if I was her, just go ahead and put it out there and let people know about it.
Well, Jeff, I remember your first call. You were looking
for
a black woman. Are you looking for a preacher?
Well, I mean, that wouldn't discount going on a date with somebody just because they're a preacher.
Right.
But if I was her, I would just go ahead and
put it out there.
Instead of going out on a date and then somebody finds out, well, I'm not interested in you anymore because you're a preacher. They just wasted an evening. She should go ahead and put that out there. And, you know, if somebody sees that on her profile and they still are willing to contact her and go out on a date with her, they're letting her know, hey, it doesn't bother me that you're a preacher. So that's probably the guy she should, you know, look for. So if she's still listening, My advice, and I'm no expert, but my advice to her would be, yeah, go ahead and put that out there and let people know about it.
Jeff, thank you
thank you so much.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Appreciate you.
I find that people test you too. Mm-hmm. You put that on your resume. On your profile, and then they want to test you to see, are you really
a
preacher?
Let's see how far you'll go. You are.
Yes.
Let's see if I can seduce you
the first date.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, we have a bunch of callers still on the line. Let's try to get the last two in. Tavon, we only have a minute and a half left. Go for it.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. I actually know Jeff, too. Yeah, he's, I know Jeff. He's a good dude. A lot of people need to understand or need to realize what their expectations are for dating.
Yes.
Most times when you start to date somebody, it's not generally for love. It shouldn't be for love when you're just meeting somebody. It should at least be for compatibility, and you work your way up to the love part. Uh-huh. So that's all I have. Y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you for that advice, Tavon. Good advice. Now, we have another call. Let's get this caller, and then I want you to give your contact information, Coach Love, so you can get some potential clients from this segment. Al, welcome to Two Way Talk.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
Good. Listen, I just came in on the back end of this, so I'm gathering that there's an individual who is in ministry, not pastoring, I would assume.
Uh-huh.
And one of her concerns is in a dating or trying to get into a dating relationship. And I guess it's with LinkedIn. Should I put my title?
She wanted to know if she should say she was a preacher, and should she put that in her dating profile?
Well, I mean, we're all preachers, so I don't think, I mean, if we understand the gospel and embrace it. So I don't think that's a hindrance. Mm-hmm. I think Jeff probably cleared it up well, if I'm not mistaken, where it says it's almost like if I was putting my LinkedIn and I would say also I'm an ex-con.
We got to go. Unfortunately, that has to be the final word. Coach Love, tell folks how they can reach you.
You can reach me on my website, CoachNickLove.com. You can also follow me on Instagram, Coach Nick Love, and Facebook, Coach Nick Love.
All right. Thank you, Coach Love. We had a great segment. Thanks for your advice and your counsel.
Thank you guys for having me again.
Do you give co-hosts discounts?
Absolutely.
So we have got to do a community hero profile. So let's throw that announcement in there.
That spotlights contributions of diverse designers to Maryland's built environment. More information at www.doorsopenbaltimore.org. Today's hero is
Calvin B. McCargo Jr., architect and owner of Design Hand Architects. He's also a professor at Morgan State University. He's a Morgan graduate with 16 years of experience in the architecture field. Inspired by great architecture and the positive effect it has on people and communities, along with the hope to one day contribute to that inventory. Proudest accomplishment has been receiving his architectural license. His personal goal is to help create an accessible practice that can become a household name known for excellence and inspiring architecture focused on community empowerment and community development. View his profile, Calvin B. McCargo Jr., at www.beyondthebuilt.com. Calvin B. McCargo Jr. This is Two Way Talk.
Two Way Talk is a production of WEAA Radio 88.9 FM here on the campus of Morgan State University, produced by Justina Pollard and engineered by Andre Melton. Please join. Stay tuned for Morgan News Hour with Randy Reed and Demi Goff. Please join Two Way Talk Monday for another great conversation. Good night.